A very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland. I think I have been sitting for a very long time and it will be so wonderful to go back to church next Sunday and then do things while standing and not sitting. We want to welcome this morning to our service of public worship, those who are worshiping with us for the first time or maybe doing so for a very long while. It's all been Zoom services since March, and now we are getting ready again to go back to church. I hope we are all looking at the conditions which we need to fulfill in order to go back to church. It's quite strange this time that people have to fill out forms or notify us that they want to come to church. But please do it for the sake of the rules and regulations we have to respect as we continue to negotiate our way through this very difficult pandemic that is facing the world. Next week on Tuesday, we will be having the funeral service of Gina Scott, who passed on to glory, and the service will take place at the crematorium in Perth on Tuesday afternoon. Let us now listen to our call to worship.
Our call to worship is from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And our first hymn this morning is, O worship the King, all glorious above.
Thank you. we come together in adoration of our merciful God and in confession of our faults and failings. Let us pray. God of grace, we praise you for your creative nature that fashioned our world within the unimaginable reaches of space. From the eons of time, you have given us the here and now, and you have made it precious and holy, for you inhabit it, you care for it, and you are passionately concerned for the well-being of your creation. Lord, we confess that too often we close our eyes to your creative power, and we live instead as if we were self-made. Lord, forgive us when we are arrogant or self-centered. And thank you for the coming and the life of Jesus, who evinces your creative power and passionate concern. God of mercy, we are in awe of the compassion you show to the sheep of your flock, to the children of your worldwide family. So often we find ourselves in difficult situations, and so often they are the result of people following self-interest over concern for others, or greed over generosity, or following the easy path over following the right path. We are sorry for when we turn from you and your loving purposes for us. Thank you that you do not abandon us, but you call us back to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Thank you that his life, death, and resurrection evinces your costly forgiveness towards us. God of truth, there is no wrong in you. The human feelings of deceit and double dealing are exposed and condemned by your laws. And yet we are ready to speak a lie or avoid telling the truth or fall in line with the deceit of others when it promises the outcome we prefer. Lord God, we ask you for time to amend our ways, to break down the walls of mistrust we have put up, and to build bridges to those we have isolated and disenfranchised. Lord, we thank you that Jesus reveals himself as I am the truth, that as we follow him, he strips from us everything that is false. God of justice, we honour you for the value that you place on every human life, every harbour of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the laws that value the widow and the orphan, the dispossessed and the powerless in our community and in our world. Lord, we confess that we often close our minds to the plights of others. We thank you for the ministry of Jesus, who reached out to the hungry, the ill and the powerless, and evinces your desire and demand for justice. Lord, we think on your nature of grace, of mercy, of truth, and of justice, and we rededicate ourselves and your church to your loving purposes, using the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is All the Way My Saviour Leads Me.
Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, with all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
All the way, my Savior. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 19. And the second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through to 10. Let us hear the word of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Now Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went to him with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." "Go in peace," Elisha said. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, from verse 2. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living, true God and to wait for his Son, from whom heaven has raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Amen. The next hymn is Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, through your only Son, you overcame death and opened to us the light of eternity. Enlighten our minds and kindle our hearts with the presence of your Spirit, that we may hear your words of comfort and challenge in the reading of the Scriptures. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Think with me, dear brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ on the theme, the evidence of God's call. The evidence of God's call. Is there a proof in our lives to show that we possess the indwelling Spirit? of Almighty God. Is there any evidence in our lives, in the way we conduct business, to show that we are followers of Jesus Christ? G.K. Chesterton, in his book, What's Wrong with the World, commented that the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Chesterton's comment might be pointing to the relationship between our Christian claim as followers of Jesus Christ and the evidence of our call in the ways in which we conduct our lives. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I presume that all of us Christian people are concerned about the state of the church and the growth of the church and the welfare of the church all over the world and its impact in private and public spaces. We all know that in some parts of the so-called third world, the growth rates of the church are higher than the population growth rates. We also know that in some parts of the Western world, particularly in Western Europe, the whole continent of Europe is steadily secularizing, and the statistics of church membership indicate that the graph is plummeting. Not only so, but all over the world, there are churches that are weak and that are sick. Many of our churches are unreformed and unrenewed, and there are very few signs of New Testament life and vigor. Now, friends, it is against that background of the church of the 21st century that we find it refreshing to turn back to the church of the first century and its hallmarks. We are looking at one of the first churches to which the Apostle Paul ever addressed a letter, namely the Thessalonian church. It was one of the first European cities in which a mission was held. And there Paul proclaimed Jesus Christ. He proclaimed the necessity that Christ promised in the Old Testament should suffer and die and rise again. And then he identified that Christ with Jesus, one who brought new life and total transformation and healing to the lives of people, so that once you encounter him faithfully, your life can never be the same again. But Paul's message about the cross of Christ aroused opposition, and Paul had to be smuggled out of the city. And yet, during the few weeks he spent in Thessalonica, the church of God had been planted. The root had taken, and the evidence of God's call upon the lives of the Thessalonians was evident. Paul, the apostle, was impressed by the exemplary character of these young Christians. He had no fault to find with them, but everything to commend. That is why Paul wrote that he gave thanks to God always for them all. And he went on to say that they had become an example to all the believers. For we know, brethren, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. By this time in his career, Paul had preached in many villages and synagogues all across Syria, Crete, Asia Minor, and Macedonia. But he recalled that when he spoke to the Thessalonians, he saw a powerful confirmation that God had chosen them. Why? Because when Paul was speaking, there was a special power of the Holy Spirit that was unique. Miracles probably were evident that had a great effect on the hearers, and their lives had become different and even better. And so Paul could say to the Corinthians at 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, accounts of revivals throughout the world in the last two centuries indicate the presence of this kind of deep conviction that result in repentance and faith and even healings. Without revival, so many of the miracles we see today are simply emotional and superficial in nature. Often they don't get to the inner person for transformational purposes. The Thessalonian ministry was powerful and unique because the people listened to the message of God with conviction and faith, and the fruits of the gospel were eminent in their lives. Their work was produced by faith. Their labor was prompted by love, and their endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Christian friends, many times it feels like the sermons we preach are falling on deaf ears. We try, we say the words. People sometimes seem to be taking in all the things we say to edify them spiritually, but there seems to be little effect on the lives and communities of people. Why is there still growing hatred in the world? Sometimes underpinned by racism and xenophobia and other forms of dehumanizing tendencies. Why do we have so much corruption and insensitivity and hate speech, even in countries which pride themselves with generations of evangelical Christianity? Why are people carrying Bibles in their hands and yet promoting evil at the same time and hate speech? Why are even Christian people cruel and selfish and unfaithful? It was not like that in Thessalonica. There was an amazing receptivity of the word of God. Hear what Paul says of them. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Paul knew that God was doing something special. God had truly chosen these new disciples to establish his name in Thessalonica, and there were signs of new life and vitality among them. They were faithful, loving, and hopeful people. Their faith was known everywhere, and the evidence of their faith was visible in at least 6 ways. Firstly, they received the gospel, which was preached with spiritual power and miraculous manifestations. Secondly, they imitated Paul and welcomed his message. Thirdly, they exhibited joy in the face of persecution. That is, even in suffering, they rejoiced. They did not curse God when they experienced suffering or when they were in difficult times or in difficulties. They did not abandon their faith. They looked up to God and they praised God and celebrated him for what he could do through the tragedies that they were facing. Fourthly, they became a model to other believers. People saw in the Thessalonians true Christian people, faithful people, honest people, not hypocrites, who carry Bibles in their hands and yet promote hatred. Fifthly, they turned from idols to serve the true and the living God. And then finally, they had an expectation of the coming of Christ. Beloved in Christ, we make time for what we truly value. We build habits and routines around the things that really matter to us. And this is an important principle to understand as we seek to build our lives around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you want a cross-centered life? A cross-centered life is made up of cross-centered days. So what do we do in order to promote vitality and faith and love and to experience the new life for ourselves and for our church and for our world? I want to suggest at least two things we might do. The first is earnest intercessory prayer and love for one another. We always thank God for all of you, says Paul the Apostle. Friend, when we realize that we cannot accomplish the task of salvation and get that new life in Christ Jesus, we must learn how to pray and how to trust God. We listen for the voice of God, and when we hear it, we obey it. Great success in becoming a true child of God must be undergirded by great prayer and true love for the brethren. The most significant Christian people who make the church to succeed in its witness may not be the outward spokespeople, but the behind the scenes intercessors who pray for the salvation of the people and the growth of the church. That is why most communities of faith have intercessors who may not necessarily be elders of the church, but a selection of other faithful people who bring the needs of the church daily to Almighty God. And then the second thing we need are miracles. Now, some people believe that the day of miracles is over, that signs and wonders were for the apostolic age before the New Testament canon was completed. And that after the New Testament was written, there was no more need for miracles. I think this is a rationalization that has no scriptural basis, because Paul indicated that some would have spiritual gifts of healing, of faith, and even of miracles. And Jesus did say the same in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. The book of Acts gives many indications of the power of miracles to win people to Christ and to change people into vessels of greater beauty. And the Gospels teach us that we can be like Christ, or that we can be Christ-like. I myself may not have those gifts of miracles, but somewhere in our congregations, God has gifted people in this way. As a church, we need to seek out these gifted people and nurture them for great exploits in Christ Jesus. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were to examine your own life and its fruits, what would be the signs to show that God has chosen you to be his own? I am not asking this question in order to put you on the spot, but to help you reflect on the fruit of God's work in your own life. The Christian and the Christian church is a community that is marked by faith, hope, and charity, or love. And these three virtues are the only sure evidence of new birth. Faith in God, which is trustful dependence upon him. Love for other people, both in the church and beyond in the world outside. Hope for the future, confidence, particularly in the triumphant coming of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. Friend, you know, every Christian is a believer, a lover, and a hoper. And although God's people live in this world, yet our chief home, from which nobody can ever dislodge us, is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is from him that we draw our new life. What a beautiful definition of the church. A community of people who live in God and from whom they derive their lives and long to live lives that are consecrated to his service and helpful to humanity. Let me end with a quote from Mother Teresa. It is indeed a prayer. I pray that you will understand the words of Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. Ask yourself, how has he loved me? Do I really love others in the same way? Unless this love is among us, we can kill ourselves with work, and it will only be work, not love. Work without love is slavery, says Mother Teresa. Do you have any signs of the evidence of God's call in your life? Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, every Sunday we gather together to worship you. We long to be like Christ. We want to follow him in his footsteps. We want to live like him. But often, merciful Father, our lives and the way we live our lives do not reflect that we are his children. We confess, O Father, for times when there has been no evidence that we are children of God at all. When we've held the Bible in one hand and on the other, we've promoted the evil in society. Father, forgive us. Give us strength to follow you. Give us committed hearts and enable us to do what we hear and what we learn from your word. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. The solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Let us now dedicate our offerings to God. Almighty and loving God, freely we have received, freely we give. We ask you to accept our offerings of our time, talents, and money as a small token of our gratitude and love for you. Please bless them and use them to further your work here on earth. Amen. Let us come now together with our prayers for ourselves and others. Almighty God, you are the strength of the weak, the refuge of the distressed, the comforter of the sad, and the lover of our souls. We continue to pray for peace and tolerance between nations and an end to evil deeds towards innocent people. Help us to understand the plight of those less fortunate than ourselves, instead of criticizing and shaming them. Lord, at this time, we pray for our church here in Newport as we prepare to open for worship. We pray for members of our church family who have been unable to join us in worship over the past few months. May they still feel your presence and love in their lives. As our nation still has the threat of COVID-19, Lord God, we pray for healing and comfort for all those affected. Bless those who are working tirelessly, supporting the sick, and also the medical professionals who are working on a cure. Lord, we pray for strength and insight to this virus in order for us to play our part in minimizing the risk. Lord, this beautiful world and its people that you created are facing many challenges: natural disasters, famine, war and conflict, political unrest, disease and crime. Lord, we bring to you all of your people affected and those who are in a position to make things right, but don't. For those who find life too difficult, may they experience the love of our Saviour Jesus Christ and the peace this brings. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now sing our last hymn, When We Walk With the Lord.
Yeah.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace.